Well, good morning. Our title for our talk today is What Genuine Faith Looks Like. And I've been thinking about this over the last couple of weeks, thinking what we could find from this. And it's just struck me that as I look at what genuine faith looks like and what my faith looks like, there's a gap between the two, and I fall short of that. So I just invite you to think about your own faith as we're considering the scriptures this morning and see if there's any gaps that you can think about in your own situation. But what I'd like to do is to take this on from last week. Now, last week, Paul was telling us about God's amazing love, his amazing love for us. And, you know, God loves us. And that's the starting point for today. He loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his son. He sent his son to die for us. To die for us. Now, his love for us is unconditional. It's unconditional. But it's not unrealistic because he knows all about us. He knows our hearts. It's been said that we are fully known and truly loved. God knows all about us, and he truly loves us. And really, our faith is a response to that love. That's what we're looking for. Now, if you want to know about faith, just go to Hebrews 11, and it's a wonderful chapter on faith. And there's a great definition at the very beginning of that chapter. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And it's a wonderful definition because it talks about sure hope for the future. And it talks about being certain about the here and now. And even though we don't see God and God is spirit, we can be certain that he's here and now. Just remember what the Lord said to Thomas. He said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Wonderful, isn't it, that we can have this faith, hope for the future, sure hope, certain about today. But you know, faith isn't an optional extra. It isn't a lifestyle choice. It isn't something that we can leave if we want to or have if we want to, because the Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is absolutely essential to us. And we see faith around us, don't we? We see faith in other people. Perhaps we see it in ourselves. But what does faith really look like? Well, we're saints. We're saints. Now, saying that, I don't mean that we're super holy or that we're really spiritual people with halos on our heads. Not that kind of saint. We are saints because we are sanctified. We're the sanctified ones. We've been chosen especially by God. Each one of us has been chosen. We've been picked and adopted into his family, into his church. And so we're set apart. We're saints. We're set apart by God and for God. The saints are his holy people. That's us, the church. And the saints aren't to hide away. We're not supposed to hide away. We haven't got to be hermits and hide away. We're to be shining lights, to shine out like beacons and do something for God. So faith is about being salt and light. Salt and light. Remember just a couple of weeks ago, we looked at this passage about salt and life, and we read there, didn't we? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Now, this to me speaks of some amount of effort, and it tells me, but not about faith being a passive a passive thing where we do nothing, but it's something which we need to get out and be doing stuff for God. Remember before the passage on salt and light, we read in the Beatitudes, didn't we? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Well, hungering and thirst speaks to me about effort, and it speaks to me about a bit of determination and working for God, working for God. So faith is about what we do. James said, I will show you my faith by my deeds, by my deeds. And that's how we can see genuine faith, by the deeds that Christians do and that we do. Things that Christians do in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Now we need to be very careful here, because these deeds, these actions, this work that we're talking about follow on from faith. They follow on from faith. It's been well said that there's no works entrance to heaven. There's no works entrance to heaven. We can't justify ourselves by our own, in our own strength, by our own efforts. It's the gift of God, isn't it? And, you know, so it's very, when we're talking about works here, we're not gaining favor with God or gaining faith or gaining salvation. We're talking about the things that follow on from belonging to Jesus and having faith. In Ephesians we read, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared us in advance for us to do. So these works were ones which God has chosen for us to do. It's wonderful, isn't it? These works follow on from faith in Jesus, and they're done in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in our own power. So faith is a response to God's love. It's being salt and life in our lives, and faith results in acts of righteousness. And that's what Tony's just read. The first verse we read talked about acts of righteousness. And these are the things that Christians with faith do Monday to Saturday, and Sundays as well. This is what we do. And in our passage, we were given three examples of acts of righteousness. Giving, and in the passage, I think it was thinking about giving money. But we can give our time as well, can't we? So there's something about giving. There's something about praying in private and praying in public. And there's something about fasting. And fasting suggests this idea of effort and focus on what God wants us to do, and hungering and thirsting for these things. We're to fast. But the list doesn't end with those three. There's all sorts of things. And there's our service that we do here. The different things go on, the ministries that go on here. Just about every day of the week, doesn't it? Bridges and Honeypot and Oasis and Messy Church. We had a wonderful Messy Church yesterday. I'll tell you about it afterwards. But these acts of righteousness might be those things, or it might be pastoral care, an act of righteousness, those kind things that you do for other members of the church, and those acts of kindness. They're all acts of righteousness. Making the coffee outside, or cleaning the place up, being on the cleaning rota. All these are acts of righteousness that follow on from faith in Jesus. Now you say, hang on a minute, Trevor. Acts of righteousness. I'm not righteous. I'm not really that righteous. And you're in good company, because I'm not righteous either. And indeed, the Bible says there is no one righteous, not even one of righteousness. But we're talking about faith, and our righteousness comes from not from ourselves, but from Jesus, Because the Bible says this, Jesus Christ is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Wonderful, isn't it? So as saints, it's not we're saints, but not because of our own holiness, it's Jesus' holiness that makes us saints, not our own, his. And our faith, we're not, we don't have faith because we saved ourselves. Our faith, our salvation, has been bought for us at a huge price by Jesus, dying on the cross for our sins. He redeemed us on the cross. He paid the debt. He is our redemption. This is what we're reading here. Jesus Christ is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. It all depends on Jesus. Our righteousness comes not from us, but from him, from Jesus. Our righteous acts can only please God by faith. It's impossible to please him without it. So let's have a look at the three things that we have, these acts of righteousness. First of all, there's giving. In Corinthians we read, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Giving. You know, I think that God is pleased with the generosity of his saints here in Argyle. I think he's pleased with us. He's pleased that we've managed to raise this huge amount of money, over £822,000 for the building fund. It's wonderful. And God is pleased that for this giving and pleased with our generosity. But you know, God looks on the heart. He looks on the heart and he knows all our circumstances. But he knows our sacrifice too. And he knows that there's been sacrificial giving with our building fund. So giving is one of the acts of righteousness. Another one is praying. Praying in private and praying in public. And it's clear that God thinks that prayer, our prayers, are very important. They're important to him. They're a sweet-smelling savour to God. He wants us to pray. Well, of course he wants us to pray. We're his chosen ones. We're his adopted children. What loving father wouldn't want to hear and expect his children to talk with him and speak to him? And, you know, God helps us because he has shown us how to pray. He's shown us how to pray. And he's given us a model prayer here in our passage, a wonderful prayer. And this prayer is to come from the heart. And it's not to be babbling like the pagans, and it's not to be vain repetition. It's to be heartfelt and from our hearts. And this is how we are to pray to God. And we'll say a little bit more about prayer later. So giving, praying. The third one is fasting. Fasting. And, you know, fasting is a reminder to us that we need to be earnest. We need to mean business about our faith and what we do in God's name. And we need to show that effort. We need to persevere. We need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. In Hebrews it says, you need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive the promise. You'll receive rewards when you've persevered. So we need this faith is shown in action, and it's shown in perseverance, and it's shown in the earnestness of how we go about it. And you know, James told us that there's blessing for those who persevere. Blessed is the one that perseveres. And that's a wonderful encouragement to us if we persevere in our acts of righteousness. Another thing about faith is that it doesn't boast. It doesn't boast. How tempting it is to talk about our acts of righteousness. How tempting it is to slip it into a conversation and subtly brag about some good deed that you've done. And you know, we're warned here not to be like that, to do these things before God, not before men. We're not to be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know what they were like in the synagogue, on the street corners? They were doing what they were doing for men's approval, not for God's approval. And you know, in our passage, it said that if we behave, they behave like that, if we behave like that, we're hypocrites. And that's a terrible thing, to think that we might be hypocrites. No, we need to be not boasting about our acts of righteousness. Faith should be humble and thankful. Humble and thankful. It shouldn't be proud and superior. So what do we read in our passage? Well, we read that indeed that faith does not boast. The first thing is this idea of not boasting comes from Ephesians, doesn't it? By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. No one can boast. Faith is a gift from God, so no one can boast about it. And what did we read in our passage? Give in secret, pray in secret, fast in secret. We're to do these things in secret, where only God knows, and that we're not doing it for the benefit of men. There's no space for boasting with this kind of faith. And you know, that's really, you know, going back to the building fund, all those gifts, all that generosity, all those acts of righteousness were done anonymously. So only God knows who gave and who contributed. And that's the way it should be. And that's the way we did it, that way, to honour God. I think that one thing we can definitely say is that faith is a living relationship with the living God. Faith is a living relationship with the living God. And I was just thinking, are there ways in which we could perhaps find something in the Bible which would just help us to focus on that? What did the New Testament saints do? The early Christians, the ones who were around just after the Lord Jesus was crucified and rose again from the dead. Well, in Acts, we get a passage which is very helpful, I think, to us to understand what genuine faith looks like. And it says this, they devoted themselves. Now, the word devoted here is a strong word. It's not a passive thing. This is, they really went about this. They got stuck into these things. They were determined. They persevered. They hungered and thirsted for these things. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. Surely we can find here something about what their faith looked like. Well, the first thing I'd like to look at is fellowship. They met together. They met together for their mutual encouragement. And we meet together for our mutual encouragement. In Hebrews it says, let us consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We're to spur each other on, and we do. We encourage each other. We support each other. That's fellowship. Their faith included fellowship. But also it included the breaking of bread. And here we have evidence that we're going to break the bread now. They were meeting together to remember Jesus and to remember what he'd done on the cross, how he'd been raised from the dead. And they were doing it in obedience to God. Do this in remembrance of me. And praise God, this morning we can do this in remembrance of him. So those are two of the things. What else did they do? Well, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer. The apostles' teaching, that was them listening to what God was saying to them. That was God talking to them through the apostles' teaching. Well, now we've got the Bible, we've got God's word, and that's how God speaks to us. That's how he talks to us. And they were praying, and we pray, and that's us talking to God. So we can listen to and hear from God through reading his word, and we can talk to him through prayer. That's what genuine faith looks like. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Well, remember, this righteousness is not our righteousness. It's Jesus' righteousness. And for those who have faith, this verse is telling us that our prayer is powerful and effective because we are praying in the Spirit. So our prayers don't just hit the ceiling and nothing happens. Our prayers are powerful and effective and are heard in heaven. And there's many in this room who can say amen to that because and people in this room have experienced answered prayer in their lives. So it's Jesus' righteousness that we're talking about here. As we're coming to a conclusion here, I just want to talk about the prayer, the disciples' prayer, the Lord's prayer here. And two things to note about it. One is that it's preceded by these words, "This then is how you should pray." This is how you should pray. God wants us to pray, and he wants us to pray like this. And the first half of the prayer is really about recognizing that God is the Father of our faith, and it's about God. And the second part is about recognizing that we are his children, his needy children. And we've read this once through, but what I'd like us to do now is to stand up and together we'll say this prayer because it's just absolutely the hub of what we're thinking about today, what faith looks like. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debts. Let us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Thank you. Do sit down. Really, that prayer says it all for us. If we can pray that prayer, then we have faith. And that's what genuine faith looks like. So can I just close by summarizing what we've been thinking about? We've thought that faith is a response to God's love. But if we've lost our first love, mind the gap. Mind the gap. Faith is being salt and light. Are we shining as we should in our lives? If we're not, mind the gap. Faith results in acts of righteousness. Are we doing as much as we could? If we're not, mind the gap. Faith doesn't boast, But are we proud to be Christians, or are we thankful to be Christians? Mind the gap. Faith is a living relationship with God. Praying in public, praying in private. Only you know what your prayer life's like. But do mind the gap. We've got to mind the gap between my faith. I've got to mind the gap between my faith and what genuine faith looks like. Thank you.